for the things you have done for me. Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love to me. The voices of million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never hope to be. I owe it all to you, to God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. To God.
Sit down. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. I said, to God be all the glory for the things He has done. Amen. I'm reading 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. We're going to read 25 and 26. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25 and verse 26. I want to quickly show you why it's so important to give God glory. Amen? There's a great reason why we give God the glory. Let's look at the life of King Hezekiah. The Bible says, but Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him. He became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and against Jerusalem. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. God had been very good to him. But the Bible says that he did not respond appropriately to the goodness that the Lord has shown him. Amen? So there is an appropriate way to respond when God has been good to you. And when you don't respond appropriately, the Lord's anger comes on you. And not just on you, on anything connected to you. To not respond appropriately has got everything to do with you not learning to say thank you. Taking for granted the things that are done to you and for you. I want to quickly show you another king. But look at verse, thank God, verse 25 says he repented. Amen. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. It meant it fell after, but it still fell. These simple two words, thank you, are too expensive for certain people. Just to say thank you is so expensive to them that they don't do it. They don't say it. May you learn to say thank you. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. The Bible there says, but all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. Which things? Very good things. The Lord had blessed him. The kingdom was blooming. Good things had happened to him. Verse 29. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, listen carefully, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power. Are you here? By my own what? Mighty power. I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. By my own mighty power. When you do not respond appropriately to the goodness that is being shown to you, this is a way of not responding appropriately. I have this job because I'm clever. It's the thickness of my CV that got me to the place I am now. It's my relationships and my performances that have laid this job on my lap. It's my beauty. I'm very beautiful. They couldn't resist my beauty. That's why I'm here. My own mighty power. I have built this beautiful city. Let's go to the next verse. While these words were still in his mouth, are you here, church? A voice called down from heaven. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. Tell your neighbor, heaven has messages for us. This one is not for us, it's for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. Demoted before he could say hello. While the words were still in his mouth, he had not finished saying them. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. Tell your neighbor, learn to respond appropriately. Yes. Learn to respond appropriately. Next verse. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. What sin has King Nebuchadnezzar committed? He didn't respond appropriately. He didn't sleep with another man's wife. He just allowed pride to enter his heart. And he opened his big mouth and said, "My mighty power has brought this beautiful city to existence." And while he was still speaking, the Bible says, God said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, you are no longer in charge. From today, you have joined the cows. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses." So sometimes God has to take us to a university of grass. Yes. Agricultural tash. So that you learn who rules. The significance of this simple message is to make you realize that you don't need to go through the grass university if you learn what I'm about to teach now. Yeah. Next verse. That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. He was rearranged as a result of inappropriate response. Next verse. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshipped the Most High, and honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting. And his kingdom is eternal. Next verse. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. His sanity really returned, didn't it? I mean, he came back to his senses. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the peoples of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, "What do you mean by these things?" When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors, nobles, sought me out. I was restored as head of my kingdom, and even greater honor than before. Do you have 37? Is that? Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true. And he is able to humble. The proud. No, he is able to humble the proud. Are you guys here? Are you guys here? Amen. I want to quickly tell you a little story this morning before I say a few words. Amen? There was a man who was trapped in an earthquake. There was an earthquake that took place. and the earthquake destroyed an entire community. And few days after the disaster, the rescue teams were still trying to get the rebels out. And as they were doing that, to their greatest surprise, among so many dead corpses that they found on the ground, they came across a man who was alive. The man did not die after so many days under the rebels. The thing was so shocking that, listen, the news decided to make a story out of it for this man. Do you understand? So they sat him down and they asked him, "Ntate, everybody died. You made it. What is your secret? How did you survive? What did you do? Which muti did you use?" And they handed the microphone over to the man to answer. Do you want to know what that man said? Are you interested? If you don't want to know, I will not tell you, because some of you, it's like you don't want me to say. I'm asking, do you want to hear the answer of this man? The man said, "Mr. Journalist, it is my determination. I'm a man of great determination. When I decide that I'm going to do something, no one can stop me." Wow. "I'm a man of great determination." They call his wife. "Mama, you live with this man every day. You cook food for him. How did he survive this calamity that has killed everybody?" "My husband is a man of a very strong will. When my husband decides to do something, he does it. Now he surprises all in the family. We are shocked by the results. He's a man of a very strong will, Mr. Journalist." So the journalist decides to take the research just a bit further. And they call the family doctor of this man. They say, "Mr. Doctor, you've been helping this man for years. Tell us, how did he survive this calamity?" "My patient is a man of inner strength. He's a very, very strong man inside. I have been treating him for years. The strength in him is too much. So here we are. The man says he has great determination. His wife says he's a man of a strong will. His doctor says he's a man of inner strength. That's why he didn't die in the earthquake that killed everybody else." 8 days later, small heart attack. He's dead. Just a small heart attack. So, the great determination was nowhere to be found. The inner strength could not help. And the strong will was nowhere to be found. Learn to act appropriately when God has shown you kindness. Never take for granted what God has given you. Never take for granted what God has freely given to you. This is where problems begin. when your heart becomes proud. Are you here, church? Learn to act appropriately. With that being said, I would like to say a big thank you to my God in heaven for allowing me to see 40 years on earth. I'm very grateful. And I believe that some of you had never heard me sing before. I sang for him. Yes, to God be the glory for the things he has done. You know, when God has done anything for you, just learn to say, to God be the glory for the things he has done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Can we say it all together? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Learn to return the glory to God. When somebody says to you, oh, you look nice, to God be the glory.
Amen.
You know, somebody comes to you and says, wow, you bought a new car. Hey, you are deep. To God be the glory. I cannot take that glory. I don't know what happened there. All the glory goes to God. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Make you understand. Your hair looks nice. I can't hear you. Don't be like somebody when they say to you, your hair looks nice. You say, really? Look, you haven't seen anything yet. This is the warm-up. I'm still... By the time I'm done, you will see what hair looks like. What real hair. Yes. Yeah. No, by the time I'm done, everybody will envy you that you have such a powerful girlfriend. By the time I'm done, you think this is nice. You wait. Pride. I also would like to thank every one of you for all that you have shown. You know, even this. I mean, look at this. Don't you like what you see here today? I mean, this is... I never in my wildest dream thought that people can do this. Yeah, it's beautiful. To God be... Learning well. You are learning. So I want to thank the Lord for what he has done for me. And I also want to thank each and every one of you for the support that you guys have shown me. I came to South Africa in 2005. And yes, when I came here, I had my family with me. I mean, my older brothers were here. But I have experienced another family here. And I'm most of the time with that family, even compared to my biological family. And it's people just like you that have been so good, that have helped me in so many ways. Some of you have become like fathers to me. Some of you like brothers and sisters. Some of you are friends. I'm here today to appreciate each and every one of you for all that. All the love that you guys have shown me and my family in this place. Amen? Amen? So I want to say thank you very much for everything. I wish the name of each one of you, but it will take us a very long time. And some people will get offended because I might forget their names. So just to avoid that, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Yeah, to God be the glory. Thank you so much. Well, I'm 40 years. Big 40. Big God, big 40. 40 represents a lot in God's kingdom. You know, The Bible itself was written by 40 different people. And the number 40 in the Bible appears 146 times. I mean, for a number to appear more than 100 times, you need to understand that that number has significance and value. But 40 appears 146 times in scriptures. So I want to, there are so many meanings of it. And some of my friends that are pastors were even sending me texts. Ah, pastor, are you aware 40 means this? 40 means that. I say, yeah, I know. Let's leave it. I want to talk about just about two or three meanings that I have seen in the number 40. Remember, I told you last week that I'm going to talk about what it means to be 40. And some of you are 40. Any 40 in the house? Or am I the only? There's a 40 there. My brother is 40. Anyone is 40? There's another 40 over there. Who is below 40? Most of you are, should be. Evana, who is below 40? Who is above 40? We must have a few here. We also have a few people that are above 40. So whether you are below 40, whether you are 40, or you are above 40, I want to say a few things about 40. Do you understand? Those of you who are below 40 shall be 40. Those of you that are above 40 were 40. So I need to remind you of your good old days. All right, but what does 40 represent in the Bible? First of all, 40 represents a generation. In scripture, number 40 stands for a generation. So after 40 years, in the biblical calendar, an entire generation is made. And from 41, a new generation starts. Do you understand? So in the Bible, we use 40 to recognize or acknowledge a generation. For example, the people that are 40 today, or let's say, are going to be 40. Maybe they're 39 or 38. That's my generation. They belong to my generation. Do you understand that? The people that are above 40 is another generation. They saw things that we didn't see. Am I making sense to you at all? Okay. I will explain just now. Joshua chapter 5 verse 6 says, the Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. How many years?
40.
Until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died. Remember, God told them that because you guys have grumbled and murmured against me, you will not enter the promised land. I'm going to make sure that you don't enter the promised land. And I'm going to make you turn around in the wilderness for 40 years. So it took 40 years for all the people that left Egypt, those that were ready for, those that could fight, that were of that generation. It doesn't mean that everybody that left Egypt died. But those that were of age, it was a certain generation. All the people that belonged to that generation, do you understand? It took 40 years, they all died. So 40 represents a generation in the scriptures. We all belong, yeah, it's better. Thank you. We all belong to different generations. Amen. And 40 helps us to recognize that. Amen. You also have, if I can give you a few facts, Saul was a king for 40 years. David was king for 40 years. And his son, Solomon, was also a king for 40 years. So it was an entire generation past another one, like a new era. Do you understand? But the real place where I want to talk about 40 is the second meaning of what 40 represents. 40 represents or symbolizes a period of testing. A period of testing. Sometimes God tests us. And 40 is usually the number
That represents your testing. So God takes you to a school and a lot of training, and sometimes you need about 40 years or 40 days or 40 months. The thing is, because you never count, that's why you don't know. But your testing is usually in 40s. It's just because you don't count it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Jesus was tested for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert before he qualified to start his ministry. Are you here? Now, Moses spent 40 years in Egypt. After 40 years in Egypt, he was tested for 40 years in the wilderness. After being tested 40 years in the wilderness, he was brought back for another 40 years. And he spent 40 days and 40 nights in Mount Sinai with God to receive the law the first time. 40 days and 40 nights. He came down, got angry, broke the law. God called him back. He spent another 40 days and 40 nights. It's a testing period. Elijah spent 40 days and 40 nights in Mount Horeb without eating or drinking. It was a real testing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? 40 represents testing for probation. It's like a probation period where God checks to see if you qualify. In Ghana, you cannot be a president until you are 40. Also here in South Africa? I don't know here. But Ghana, Cameroon, most of the West African countries, you must be 40 and above for you to be a president. You can't be a president if you are younger than 40. So most of you who are here, 20, 60, 20, 25, you don't qualify. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 4. Guys, Mokwase is in the house. You don't just know. But Mokwase members are here. They are here. They are here. They are here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its work perfect, its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the purpose of the testing is for you to reach a stage where you don't lack anything, meaning you now qualify to do what God wants you to do. After Moses was tested for 40 days in the wilderness, he now qualified to go back to Egypt and deliver the people of God. After Jesus was tested for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was tested for 40 years, and Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights, he now was able to come and start his ministry. I repeat, this happens to you all the time. It's just that you and I don't count. If you were counting, you will see that it has taken 40 days. Some test comes at the beginning of the month. They come at the beginning of the month, and they push through the month until the next month. And you don't realize it. Amen? Amen? But you are being tested. Let's look at the temptation and the test of Jesus. Luke 4, 1 to 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they ended, he was hungry. And if you remember well, when he became hungry, that's when Satan came again and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So he was now actually ending the test. And this was the toughest part of the test. And we thank God he passed the test. Hallelujah. Job chapter 23 verse 10 says, but he knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. But he knows where I'm going. God knows where you are going. God knows exactly what he wants to make of your life. Hallelujah. But there must be a test before you go there. When he tests me, that God knows where you are going is not the question. The question is, do you qualify to get there? When he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. May you come out as pure as gold as a result of the testing of your faith. And usually it's a, we also call it the wilderness. But in scripture, it lasts, it's 40. 40 years, 40 days, 40 months, 40 hours. God doesn't know 48 hours. 40 hours, you know, 40 minutes. Some of your temptation lasts for 40 minutes. Yeah, it doesn't take, look, sometimes it just takes 40 minutes. And many things have changed. Yeah. Sometimes it takes 40 hours. May you come as pure as gold, not as dark as charcoal. When the temptation, when the test is over, you should come out as pure as gold. Hallelujah. You shall make it to the end of your temptation. You shall make it to the end of the test. I love the scripture. It says, but he knows where I'm going. God knows where you are going financially. God knows where you are going relationally. He knows. You don't need to tell him. He sees it. But you need to be tested. The test of Joseph started from a very young age. He was tested. Can you honor? Can you obey? Can you obey when it's difficult? You know that your brothers hate you. Now your father says, take this and go give to them. Can you obey? You are being tested. Listen to me. Life is a test. You are always being tested. We are tested all the time. All the time we are tested. It's just that you are not aware. You see, the test of life, you never know when you have entered the test. Like you just enter. You don't know that I've already entered the test. He was tested morally. You know the story. The wife of Potiphar comes every day, says to him, come and have sex with me. She's offering herself for free. Free test. I mean free. Mahala. Come and have. She says to him, look, everything here, because he got tested for integrity. The king, the guy made him in charge of everything in the house. And the moment he became in charge, instead of things going down, things went up. It shows integrity. When daddy leaves you with the family for the weekend, what happens when he comes back? Three plates are broken. Three teaspoons are gone. The TV is broken. The remote control is lost. You don't have integrity. Something is wrong. You are failing the test. They entrust you with a bedroom. When they come to check the bedroom, it looks like a dumping site. You are failing the test of life. Simple test you are failing. Simple test. Yeah. Somebody borrows you the car for 2 hours. The car returns looking like a car that was born in 1973. This is what caused me to stop borrowing books to people. I'd rather give you a book than to borrow you a book. Because when you borrow a book to a person, if the book comes back, that is a big if. If the book comes back, it looks like a book that was discovered after an earthquake took place and so many problems happened, but the book was recovered. Oil stains, Maguena stains, pap stains, over the book. You ask yourself, was this person reading the book or was he using the book to wipe his hands after eating maguya? You are failing the test. You are failing simple test. Yeah. Simple test. You are working in the office. Then a lady comes to train. You start sleeping with her. You are failing the test. Simple test. She just comes. She's an intern. She's there for 3 weeks. By the time she came, she had a flat tummy. After 3 weeks, the tummy is already increasing. Okay, you can't see a person with a skirt around you and you are okay. A skirt must be short. A skirt must not survive. Yeah. So God asks himself, how can I put you in charge of a business? I mean, you will impregnate everybody that comes there. Yeah, that's what you're going to do. Yeah. Small nanny comes to watch the kids. By the time she's done, she has a kid. I tell you. Keep doing like you don't know what I'm talking about. I will tell you. This is how we fail the test. It's how we fail the test. Oh, borrow me 5 rand. I'll give you back. It's a test. The test of your word. Can you keep a promise? Look at how you guys are looking at me. You've been borrowing money. Then changing towns. Owing people money. It's a test. So God checks your integrity. He checks your integrity for 40 hours. He checks it. Are you a man of integrity? Do you honor your words? He says, he knows where I'm going. When he tests me, I will not fail the test. Not if he tests me. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when that you will be tested. We shall all be tested. Yeah. Yes. But my prayer for you is that after your test, you will come out like Jesus. Pure as gold. Hallelujah. You shall not fail in Jesus' name. I say you shall not fail your test in Jesus' name. Simple test of coming to church. It's a test. It's a test. Simple test of paying your tithe. It's a test. We are tested all the time. Always tested. Test of staying home, watching a soapy, or coming for prayer on Friday. It's a test. It's a test. The test of saying the name Jesus among your friends. Yeah. Like when your best friends are around, for you to even say Jesus. It's a test. Can you say Jesus? Because 3 Hebrew boys in front of the parliament, the senate, all the country stood before the king and told the king, what's the name of the king? What is the name of this king? Was it Nebuchadnezzar again? It's the same Nebuchadnezzar. They said to him, listen, they didn't say King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar, listen. Look, they put compliments aside. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, listen. We will not have to talk again with you on this matter. We will not bow. It's the test. I pray that we pass such tests when they come our way. So what does 40 represent? 40 reminds us that from time to time, we shall be tested for strength, for weakness. What is in you? Listen, God always knows what is in us, but we don't always know what is in us. So he takes you through a test so that you can discover for yourself, hey, this is in me. I'm like this. This is still in me. I'm still struggling here. That's why. Not to take you down so that you can be purified. And once you are purified, you now qualify. Hallelujah. After purifications come qualifications. Amen. Amen. You will come as pure as gold in Jesus' name. Amen. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Luke 4 verse 14. After he was tested for 40 days, He says, then Jesus returned in the power. Do you see? He went for 40 days and 40 hours, tested. He passed the test. He now qualifies for power. He returned in the power of the... I think I'm returning with something after 40 days. I mean, 40 years. After 40 years, this man is returning with something. Yeah. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Now look at the impact. And news of him went out throughout the surrounding region. That's the impact. Do you guys understand? When you pass your test, this thing that you keep saying, I cannot change, you should change. Don't continue saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. I can't change. Pass the test of forgiveness. Pass that test. Forgive a person who doesn't even ask for forgiveness. Forgive them. Pass the test and forgive a person who didn't ask for forgiveness. And you will qualify for something greater. Hallelujah. Amen. Pass the test of finances. This is one test that has killed so many believers. They pray in tongues. They worship God. But their biggest problem is money. And God says, you shall be there. Will you stay there until you pass that test? Listen to me. Can I ask you a question? Can you fail grade one, then you supernaturally go to grade two? Even if your father is the principal of the school. Yeah. Some people wonder, how come my life is like this? My life has been like this since 2015. You've been failing one test since 2015. So you've been in the same grade. Grade 6. Every year the same test come, but in another form. Then you sit and write. Then you cheat again. Then you do your tricks. The exam goes up, failed. Same level. Next year, back in the test. The test comes back in another shape, in another form, but it's the same test. It's a different lady, but it's the same test. It's a different guy, but it's the same test. It's a different pastor, but it's the same test. It's a different church, it's the same test. You are tested again. Yeah. May you pass your test. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May God bless you richly with these words. Give the Lord a hand of praise, please. Before we close, I would like to now show you that when you pass the test, amen, when you pass the test, you qualify for a new chapter. Like Jesus passed the test, news about him, there was no news until he passed the test. Yeah. So when you pass your test, there will be some news. Amen. Now, let's look quickly at Isaiah 48 verse 17. Are we there? This is what the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel says. I am Yahweh, your God, who teaches you. It must be in the version I placed there. Is that the version that I place it in? HCSB. It's not there. It should be there. All right. Let me read it from here. I am Yahweh your God, who teaches you for your benefit. Amen. Teaches you for your benefit. I think that's what we should know. Isaiah 48 verse 17. Yes, that's it. I am the Lord your God who teaches you for your benefit. So you see, God's teaching is for your benefit. God wants you to profit. Amen. The King James Version says, who teaches thee to profit? So every teaching from God is for your benefit. Now, listen to the next line. Who leads you in the way you should go? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to talk to you guys about a divine visitation that I had here on the 30th of March, 2019. I think that was, which month is this? It's May. So, I think about the, almost the last day of March. The Lord woke me up at about 3 a.m., and I drove from the house to this building. I was here at 4 a.m. for prayer. I was alone in this building. I began to pray. Just praying. Walking here. Praying. 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 Pastor, what were you praying about? Well, I was praying for many things. But one of the main things that I was praying for, I was asking the Lord, Father, cause Alive City Church to outlive me. You see, after 40 years on earth, you see many things. I saw churches that died the moment the person who started the church died. Like, if this person is the one who started a church, the moment he dies, the church also dies. Have you noticed things like that? So, and I've also seen churches that the founder died years ago, but the church is still around. The church is strong. The church didn't go down. The church went up. Amen? So I began to pray and I said to the Lord, Father, please, my only prayer, cause this church, long after I die, people must still be able to go to that church and find Jesus and give their life to Jesus. I was praying that prayer, just praying, asking God, please, do it for us. Help us. Praise the name of Jesus. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit came. I was walking right here. Up and down. The Holy Ghost came on me. And he started speaking to me. And he said to me, you are asking me to cause this church to outlive you. To be here for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. But he says to me, I want you to look at the name of your church. There is one thing in that name that will cause that church to not live as long as you want it to live. I said, what? Me and God had never had such a conversation before. He says to me, there's one thing in your church, in the church name, that will cause the church to deviate and to not live as long as you are praying that it should live. Are you guys listening to me? Yes. Listen carefully. So now I stand right here and I'm looking at our name, Alive City Church. And the Lord is telling me, there is something in this name that is going to cause the church to not live as long as you want it to live. Where is Peter? All right, I'm going to have Peter to interpret a bit because this is very important. Amen? I want everybody to hear me clearly. Hallelujah. Let's give him a chance to come. So, the Lord took me back to 2015. When we first launched our new name,
Alive City Church.
And I remembered that, you see, let me tell you how we became Alive City Church. When I had an operation, I was bed fast for 2 months. I was not moving. I was sleeping 24 hours. Maybe just to go to the toilet, sometimes my wife would help me. I was already a pastor when this happened. So I didn't think I was going to walk again. And I didn't think I would be able to pastor a church again. So I decided that whatever we were doing, we just need to trust God to give it to somebody. Which led to us joining 3C. But when we joined 3C, God spoke to me in a dream. And he said, it's not his will. It took us a month. We just joined him for a month. In January. By the end of January, we pull out. Now we didn't know what to do. So as I'm in that bed, one morning, I woke up. I don't know how, but the name,
Melina,
alive. It was like the name was pouring on me. I didn't read it anywhere. It was just all over me.
Alive.
So I thought to myself, this probably is the name of the church God wants us to have. So I took my iPad. I wrote Alive Ministries. And I went on the internet to search if there are churches called Alive Ministries. And there were a few churches. So I said, I realized, no, this is probably not what God wants me to do. But I started writing down all the ministries. Alive Youth.
Alive Kids.
Alive Worship. Alive Publishing. Alive Media. Alive TV.
Alive TV.
I got all the ministries in one. Like in a few hours. Because remember, I was in bed the whole time. So I was talking to God and God was talking to me. Continuously. Sometimes when you're moving too much, God can talk to you. Now God kept me in bed. So he could birth the dream. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I got Alive Ministries.
Make I create Alive Ministries.
But I was sure that is not the real name. But I knew it has to do with Alive something. Praise God.
Amen.
Therefore, I continued praying. One day, as I'm praying, these words came out of my mouth. Alive to give life. As I was praying, the word alive to give life. It came out of my mouth. I was so surprised. I took my iPad again. I wrote it down. And I continued. Quietly. Then the Lord made me realize that ministries is not really for the church. It's what God gives a person. So Pastor Pascal has ministries inside him. But the church is the church. The church is doing something specific. So I realized God wanted us to be a live church.
A live church.
So I wrote down
a
live church.
A live church.
Then we decided we're going to register
the name
a live church.
A live church.
Because that's what we feel God is giving us. So we went to Cipro. To register.
A
live church.
A live church.
I'm explaining to you where the name Alive City Church comes from. When we got there. And we give the name. To our greatest surprise. That name. Was already taken. By another church. So when you register a business or a church, they always say to you, have different names. If your first name, your number one name is not available, you should have another name. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? You should have another business name or ministry name that will pass. Just like when you open an email, you have to test it sometimes, many times, before you get the right one. Because maybe the one you wanted is already taken by someone. That's what happened to us.
A live church
was already taken by a certain pastor in Durban. I researched it, so I knew that we can't really take that name anymore. So we needed a second best. Are you following me? A second best now. We decided. Let's call ourselves Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
Because at that time, many city churches were starting. And you've probably seen many churches called City Church. It's a lot of them. In South Africa, it's quite a number of them.
Most South Africa,
but they are mostly in Europe.
Look at Europe.
And in America.
Look at America.
Why? Because I was following American pastors. I knew every successful American pastor. And I wanted to be the way they are. Do you see? So we decided we're going to be a live city church. It sounds nice. It looks nice. It's powerful. We took that name. To Cipro. And they took it. So that name passed the test. That's how we became
a
Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
We didn't become a Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
Because that's how we wanted to be. What we wanted to be was already taken. Listen. Who God was making us to be was taken. So we went back to our drawing board and we came up with
Alive City Church.
And we registered that church and we started trading as Alive City Church. We have a website which we never even used. Facebook page. We are more there. And then you see our posters. Alive City Church. Many of you got born again because of Alive City Church. Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
Now God is telling me as I'm praying here, there's something wrong in the name. The prayer you are making, you want this church to be there when you are dead. When Pastor Fumi is no more, the church must continue. But there's something in the church name that is not going to cause this church to go far. God knows your past, your present, and your future. Nothing is hidden from God. I never thought there was something wrong with our name. As a matter of fact, I love our name. It's cool. It's unique. ACC.
Hey.
The place to be.
The place to be.
The Lord drew my attention to that word we added. When we wanted to register the church.
City.
And the Lord asked me, so you mean to say, I can't send you to the village? According to the name of your church, all the villagers must go to hell. Now that you have opened Alive City Church, when are we going to have Alive Village Church? It's a question. And I had never thought about it in this malicious brain. He said to me, if I send you, because there are souls in villages, and I need this church to go to villages as well, because I have children in villages. Now understand City Church. City Church is a concept.
City concept.
You see, some of us, we just take things because they sound nice.
No,
but there is a reason why people call something the way they call it. Hillsong.
Hillsong
is a city church. Do you understand? How many of you know Hillsong Church? That's a city church. Even if Jesus comes back in the year 4000, you may never hear about Hillsong Mabela Pudi. Or Hillsong Leader.
Kana Hillsong Leader.
It's a city church. When they entered South Africa, they started in Cape Town. Then Joburg. Pretoria. They'll go to the big cities. And God designed them that way. The people that started the church were born in the city. They don't know village life. You take them to the village. A trained mosquito from Lidak can send them back to the city. A mosquito that has been trained. So they don't understand some of the things. I was born in a village. Me. I was not born in the city. I moved to the city. That I was born in the bush. I know what it means to wake up in the morning. And to bath. You have to go to the streets. And fresh water. I know what it means. To have breakfast. You need to go in the backyard. And pull a cassava. And cook it before you can eat. I understand village life. For me to start a city church and forget where I'm coming from, it's an insult on the God who gave me salvation in the first place. I understand people from low beginnings because I'm from low beginnings. Who can minister better to such people than me? But I want to be a city church. I want to go to the city. Alive Santin.
Alive Santin.
Alive Cape Town.
Alive Cape Town.
How about Alive Mabiskral?
Yes. Alive Mabiskral.
Imagine you go to Mabiskral.
And they
say Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
Mabiskral.
Mabiskral.
What are you saying? Are you insulting these people? What are you trying to say to them? What are you trying to say? Imagine I go to Mabela Pudi. Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
Mabela Pudi.
Mabela Pudi.
What are you trying to say?
Obata goreng.
Pastor, people will understand that you are trying to say that this place must become a city. Are you the mayor?
Ami wena o mayor.
Who appointed you as the mayor of that place? You are a man of God.
Yes,
Pastor, the man of God must also be involved in this and this and this and this and this. And this, and this,
and
this. That's how that's the reason why the church is no more working. Because man of God, instead of focusing on the kingdom of God,
you start.
So I don't want to arrive in a place and I spend 1 year just to explain the name. I must explain the name to all the grandmothers. Imagine I go to a Magogo. Magogo, are you going
to go? Let's go to church. What is the name of the church?
Magogo.
Magogo.
Alive City Church.
Alive City Church.
Come on, Papa.
What are you saying, son?
Alive City Church.
Alive
Magogo.
City Church. Nkuku.
I never saw these things until God started speaking to me. I never saw them. Then I realize there's a mistake with that name. And I can trace it back to how the name came about. Because that was never what we wanted. We ended up with that. Because what we wanted was taken. So I said to the Lord, Father, I hear you. But it's too late. We are already like this. He says to me, son, then you can forget about ministry.
Because
from the moment I speak to you, if you didn't know, I can tolerate. The moment I speak, you are no more allowed to continue making the same mistake. I permitted the mistake because I could see your heart. You wanted to do my will, but you have reached a stage where you now need to be right. So it's either you are right or you go your own way. This thing is happening as I'm praying here. I say, Lord, I'm ready to hear you. And the Lord started by asking me one question. Because I was not asking, so what must we call ourselves? Our life church is gone.
Our life church is there.
You are saying we mustn't be a life city church.
We're not a life city church.
What should we be? He asked me a question.
I'm put up.
He says, son,
Arimura,
what is the strength of the ministry I have given you? Why do people come to this church? What is the reason?
King Libaka.
Is it because of the music? I'm asking you. Is it because of the prophecy? Have you been
getting
prophecies? What is the strength of the ministry that I have given you? When I checked it, I realize it's not the music. Even though I'm a very good musician, and I'm a singer, I think you saw a little bit of that. Oh, you don't think so? It's because you don't know. You see, but God also gave me that gift. I realize it is the word. It's always been the
word.
It
has.
We don't do jokes here. It is the preaching of the word. It is the word. It says you are right. Almost anyone that comes to this church, they don't come because you know how to sing. They don't come because you are doing miracles. They come because they have found my word. Then they said to me, my word is forever. Heaven and earth shall
pass
away. Listen. He said to me, you are asking me to cause this ministry to be forever. What causes the ministry to be forever?
It's
what is forever. And what is forever? It's my word. It's my word. It's my word. So he said to me, son, you already have the seed. You didn't just know. It is my word. The word I gave you. The word I give you every Sunday. Every Friday. Every time. My sheep are after my word. They are after my word. And he says to me, son, I put my word inside a book. 66 books.
The book of 66.
And I call it the Bible.
Bible.
My word is in the Bible. When you have my word, You have what is eternal.
So he says
to me, son,
Antarmura,
you know the name of your church. I said, I think I understand what you are saying.
So
I mustn't be a live city church. Because the church is not growing because of a city or whatever.
This
church is growing because of the world, which is the
baby.
You should be. Can we get a place? So, we switch that on there. Somebody switch that on for me. That's the. This is what
is so
it's not if this name is your will, then
Cipro
must.
It wants to adume lana lelo. Lena.
Then something was wrong. God spoke to me.
Mudimu abu alena
on Saturday.
Kaswakasa tartaha.
Monday.
Mantaha.
I called
him
and I said to him, I want you to check this name for me. If it is available,
Alive
Bible Church. I gave him the name. Within 20 to 15 minutes, he called me back.
He said,
it is
the city. Miracle.
This is our new slogan.
Bible Church.
Santa Baba Salama Mandaraba Shada Paya Baba Ente Paya Kakakala Santa Riba Yandara Baba Santa Suka Baba Yandara Baba Santa Baba Santa Baba Saka Shakata mamanda raba sakata kaba. Church. Yalo kutoka teku. Kuto yalo kutoka teku. Shepe kalamambe. Shente kate palada. Yende. Thank you, Lord, for leading us.
For leading us, Lord.
Into your Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We celebrate you today. We honor you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God specializes in changing people's names. So Jacob went from Jacob to Israel. Abraham went from Abraham to Abraham. Sarai to Sarah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And
Simon.
Went from Simon.
So Simon, we let go to Simon.
To Peter.
Abitwa Peter.
That is our God. He changes names. He rearranges history. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What do you guys think of this new name?
Lona lena gana ka lena le lentsha le.
Alive Bible Church.
Bible Church.
You shall see this name in a village.
And
you shall see this name in the city. I can take it to New York.
New York.
And I can take it to Mabela Pudi. Anywhere. And please, I don't mention Mabela Pudi because it's a village. It's a place I like. That's where my wife came from. Praise the name of Jesus. So, we wanted on this special day to launch our new ministry. So today you are part of history. You will tell people I was there.
I was there.
I was there. Now I feel sorry. For people who haven't been in this church for just 2 weeks. When they left, we were allowed
City Church.
When they come back, they will find the metamorphosis. Now they have never
been
before. Our God is a good God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will send the profile picture. It says new name, same church. New name, same church. Let's spread the message. Hallelujah. I think I got it.
bless you. Now, under Alive Bible Church, with every head bowed and all eyes closed, every head bowed and all eyes closed.